Agencies and laws affecting mortgage lending. The terms mortgage banker and mortgage broker are commonly used when doing business with lenders. Because these functions often overlap, there is some confusion about the exact role of the loan originator in a transaction. The term loan officer is used by mortgage brokers, bankers, and correspondent lenders, and therefore is not particularly enlightening. Real estate license holders often refer buyers to a number of trusted loan originators, universally called residential mortgage loan originators, or RMLOs, as mandated by the SAFE Act. A good rule of thumb is to provide the buyer with at least three loan originators for them to consider, understanding that the buyer is free to use any loan originator that they choose. The fallout of the recent financial crisis has resulted in a heightened regulatory climate, complete with several new laws, regulatory agencies, and the expansion of the role of some long-established agencies at both the federal and state level. Recent legislation has made it easy to research the background of a loan originator. Researching a loan originator's background would undoubtedly be a prudent move on the part of a real estate agent. In several cases, the background research has revealed misconduct, fraud, and incompetence on the part of some RMLOs promoting services to real estate agents. In some cases, it has been found that the originator seeking the business of a real estate agent was not even licensed. Having some knowledge of the regulations affecting the lending industry and knowing how to check the background of the RMLO will help real estate license holders locate and refer buyers to competent and reliable lenders. Secure and Fair Enforcement for Mortgage Licensing Act. The Secure and Fair Enforcement for Mortgage Licensing Act, SAFE Act, is designed to enhance consumer protection and reduce fraud. The Federal SAFE Act required each state to enact SAFE legislation or defer to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. For such regulation, state SAFE legislation must be compliant with the Federal SAFE Act, and HUD was charged with the responsibility of monitoring compliance. The SAFE Mortgage Licensing Act was designed to enhance consumer protection and reduce fraud by encouraging states to establish minimum standards for the licensing and registration of state-licensed mortgage loan originators and by establishing a nationwide mortgage licensing system and registry for the residential mortgage industry. All mortgage loan originators must now be registered with the Nationwide Mortgage Licensing System and Registry, NMLSR. The SAFE Act seeks to protect consumers from incompetence, fraud, and other abuses by ensuring that individuals acting as RMLOs receive training on and can demonstrate an understanding of their applicable legal and ethical obligations. As initially enacted, the SAFE Act required the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and five other agencies to jointly develop and maintain a federal registration system for individual employees of agency-regulated institutions who engage in the business of residential mortgage loan origination. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010 transferred the authority to develop and maintain the federal registry from the various agencies to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act was signed into law by President Obama on July 21, 2010. This landmark legislation represents a sweeping restructuring of U.S. financial regulation in response to the worst financial crisis in the United States since the Great Depression. The act spans over 2,300 pages and affects almost every aspect of the U.S. financial services industry. The official purposes of the law are to promote the financial stability of the United States by improving accountability and transparency in the financial system, to end too big to fail, to protect the American taxpayer by ending bailouts, and to protect consumers from abusive financial services practices. The objectives ascribed to the act by its proponents in Congress and by the President include restoring public confidence in the financial system, preventing another financial crisis, and allowing any future asset bubble to be detected and deflated before another financial crisis develops. Under Dodd-Frank, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, was established. The Bureau has the authority to examine and enforce consumer protection regulations for all mortgage-related businesses, large non-bank financial companies, and banks and credit unions with assets greater than $10 billion. The CFPB has the authority to oversee non-bank businesses, regardless of size, in certain markets. Mortgage companies, originators, brokers, servicers, and loan modification or foreclosure relief services, payday lenders, and private education lenders. The CFPB is responsible for enforcing federal consumer financial law. Virtually almost all existing federal laws regulating consumer financial products and service providers, including but not limited to the following federal laws: Truth in Lending Act, TILA; Fair Credit Reporting Act, FCRA; Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, RESPA; Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA. The Dodd-Frank Act transferred rulemaking authority for the SAFE Act to the CFPB, effective July 21, 2011. Community Reinvestment Act, CRA. A significant federal law that affects lenders is the Community Reinvestment Act. This federal law was passed to ensure that banks would serve the needs of the community in which they were chartered to do business. It prohibits redlining, which is the practice of refusing to provide financing in a particular area because of the location. The Act is intended to encourage depository institutions to help meet the credit needs of the communities in which they operate, including low and moderate income neighborhoods, consistent with safe and sound operations. It was enacted by Congress in 1977 and revised substantially in May of 1995. CRA examinations are conducted by the federal agencies that are responsible for supervising depository institutions, including the Federal Reserve, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Office of Thrift Supervision. When building a list of RMLOs, remember the following. Ask the active agents in your firm for a list of trusted loan officers. Always check the licensing status of a loan officer at www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA, originally passed in 1974, ensures that all consumers are given an equal chance to obtain credit. The ECOA covers all creditors who regularly extend credit and impacts professionals, such as mortgage originators, involved in granting credit. The law provides protections when consumers deal with organizations or people who regularly extend credit, including banks, mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, and credit unions. Everyone who participates in the decision to grant credit or in setting the terms of that credit, including real estate brokers who arrange for financing, must comply with the ECOA, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, prohibits discrimination in any aspect of a credit transaction on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, age, provided that the applicant has the capacity to enter into a binding contract, receipt of income from a public assistance program, the good faith exercise of any right under the Consumer Credit Protection Act. The ECOA's prohibition against sex discrimination encompasses discrimination motivated by perceived nonconformity with sex-based or gender-based stereotypes, as well as discrimination based on an applicant's associations. Each applicant must be evaluated on the same information as every other applicant. The provisions of ECOA do not prevent a mortgage loan originator from obtaining the information necessary to evaluate the creditworthiness of an applicant. Public assistance programs include, but are not limited to, Aid to Families with Dependent Children, AFDC, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, Rent and Mortgage Supplement or Assistance Programs, Social Security and Supplemental Security Income, SSI, and unemployment compensation. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act requires that mortgage loan originators apply credit standards fairly so that all consumers are given an equal chance to obtain credit. It does not require all mortgage loan originators to have the same standards. Truth in Lending Act. The Truth in Lending Act is a U.S. federal law designed to protect consumers in credit transactions by requiring clear disclosure of key terms of the lending arrangement and all costs. Most of the specific requirements imposed by TILLA are found in Regulation Z, so a reference to the requirements of TILLA usually refers to the requirements contained in Regulation Z, as well as the statute itself. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, assumed the authority to publish regulations under most provisions of the Truth in Lending Act as of July 21, 2011. Truth in Lending Act and Advertising. The following is a summarized report of Regulation Z regarding how it applies to real estate advertisements. These provisions have been selected from a manual published by the Federal Trade Commission entitled How to Advertise Consumer Credit. The primary purpose of the Truth in Lending Act is to ensure the meaningful disclosure of consumer credit and lease terms so that consumers can compare those terms and shop wisely. Before the passage of the Act, an advertiser might have disclosed only the most attractive credit, or lease, terms, thus distorting the true cost. The Act requires that the advertisement tell the whole story. Triggering terms. The Truth in Lending Act's advertising provisions are simple. If an advertisement contains any one of a list of terms specified in the regulation, the advertisement must also include several prescribed disclosures. The triggering terms for closed-end credit, mortgage loans, are the amount of the down payment, expressed as either a percentage or dollar amount, in a credit sale transaction. Examples: 10% down, $1,000 down, 90% financing, trade-in with $1,000 appraised value required. The amount of any payment, expressed as either a percentage or dollar amount. Examples: monthly payments less than $250 on all our loan plans. Pay $23.44 per $1,000 amount borrowed. $210.95 per month. The number of payments or the period of repayment. Examples: up to 4 years to pay, 48 months to pay, 30-year mortgages available. The amount of any finance charge. Examples: financing costs less than $300 per year, less than $1,200 interest, $2 monthly carrying charge. Required disclosures. If an ad for closed-end credit uses a triggering term, it also must include the amount or percentage of the down payment, the terms of repayment, and the annual percentage rate, using that term or the abbreviation APR. If the annual percentage rate may be increased after consummation of the credit transaction, that fact also must be stated. Real estate license holders advertising properties are required to comply with Truth in Lending in the same manner as mortgage loan originators. When a license holder advertises a property that includes any of the trigger terms listed above, a full TILLA disclosure is required. One strategy used to avoid the TILLA requirement is to keep the advertisement sufficiently vague by avoiding all trigger terms. Some statements about credit terms are too general to trigger additional disclosures. Examples of terms that do not trigger the required disclosures are no down payment, easy monthly payments, loans available at 5% below our standard APR, low down payment accepted, pay weekly, terms to fit your budget, financing available, general statements such as take years to pay or no closing costs do not trigger further disclosures because they do not state or suggest the period of repayment or down payment cost. In contrast, the statement "own this home for $1,000" implies that the required cash down payment is no more than $1,000 and does trigger full disclosure. Similarly, a statement such as "up to 48 months to pay" lists the period of repayment and triggers disclosure. In general, the more specific the statement, the more likely it is to trigger additional disclosures. Secondary mortgage market. The secondary market exists for the purchase and sale of existing mortgages to investors. It is designed to provide greater liquidity to the residential real estate market by providing for a steady supply of funds from investors. The secondary market is the market wherein loan originators, such as mortgage bankers and brokers, can sell their loans and recover cash for originating more loans. Secondary market investors do not lend money. They purchase mortgage notes as investments to earn a return. The return is called yield, which represents the money earned on an investment. The originator of a loan speaks to customers who are borrowers. Once the originator closes the loan to the borrower, the note and the mortgage instrument become marketable paper that can be assigned to an investor when sold. The originator of the loan becomes a seller, and the large investing institutions that deal in the secondary market for mortgage loans are called purchasers. When a mortgage loan is offered for sale, the potential purchaser is interested in only one factor, net yield. The net yield is the return on investment that the investor receives over time. Fannie Mae, also known as the Federal National Mortgage Association, FNMA, plays a vital role in financing mortgages and increasing home ownership opportunities in the United States. Fannie Mae began in 1938 as an agency of the federal government and was created to bring stability to the U.S. housing market. In 1968, Fannie Mae became a privately owned and managed corporation. At that time, the U.S. Congress rechartered Fannie Mae as a private company, mandating that it operate with private capital on a self-sustaining basis to enhance the flow of funds through the secondary market to home buyers. Fannie Mae is the largest investor in home mortgages today. Since 1968, Fannie Mae has provided more than 63 million homeowners with more than $6.3 trillion in housing finance. The corporation currently owns in its portfolio or holds in trust for investors one out of every five mortgages in the United States. Fannie Mae operates exclusively in the secondary market and provides support to mortgage lending institutions in the primary market. Lenders who originate loans in the primary market may either hold the loans in their portfolios or sell them in the secondary market. By selling loans in the secondary market, lenders can obtain additional funds to make more loans to homebuyers. Fannie Mae helps accomplish the following important housing objectives. It addresses imbalances of mortgage credit among regions of the United States by making funds available to capital-deficient areas of the country in order to finance new mortgage originations. It allows lenders to originate mortgages for sale rather than for portfolio investment. It standardizes mortgage loans, thereby attracting investors who traditionally have not invested in the primary market, further strengthening the market. By raising funds from U.S. and global investors and dispersing risks on mortgage assets, Fannie Mae works to keep low-cost capital flowing to mortgage lenders across the nation, in all communities, under all economic conditions, at the lowest mortgage rates in the housing finance market. Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac is a federally chartered corporation, established as the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, FHLMC, in 1970 to purchase mortgages in the secondary market. Freddie Mac is a stockholder-owned corporation chartered by Congress to increase the supply of funds that mortgage lenders, such as commercial banks, mortgage bankers, savings institutions, and credit unions, can make available to homeowners and multifamily investors. Most of its listed stock is owned mainly by savings associations. To sell a loan to Freddie Mac, the loan originator must comply with the seller-docked servicer requirements, and the loan must be written on Freddie Mac's uniform documents. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have jointly developed a series of documents to standardize mortgage loan purchases, and loans prepared on these documents have become known as conforming loans. Conservatorship. The turmoil in housing and credit markets that began in 2007 put extreme financial pressure on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The value of their mortgage assets has fallen, but the debt they took on to purchase those assets remains. To maintain a positive net worth in the face of falling asset values, financial firms have several options to raise capital, but none of these were readily available to Fannie or Freddie. If they sold assets, they would depress the prices of mortgage loans and mortgage-backed securities still further, worsening both their own balance sheet problems and those of many other financial firms. They cannot use retained earnings to bolster capital because their operations have not turned a profit since 2006. Finally, rapidly falling share prices made it difficult to impossible to raise capital by selling new equity or common stock. On September 7, 2008, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHFA, placed Fannie Mae and Fred Dymack in conservatorship. This step was taken because a default by either of the two firms, which had been battered by the downturn in housing and credit markets, could have caused severe disruptions in global financial markets, made home mortgages more difficult and expensive to obtain, and had negative repercussions throughout the economy. Government National Mortgage Association. The Government National Mortgage Association, GNMA, or Ginnie Mae, was established in the United States in 1968 to promote homeownership. It is a wholly owned government association that operates the mortgage-backed securities program designed to facilitate the flow of capital into the housing industry. Ginnie Mae approved private institutions issue mortgage-backed securities with payments that are guaranteed even if borrowers or issuers default on their obligations. The Ginnie Mae guarantee allows mortgage lenders to obtain a better price for their loans in the capital markets. Lenders can then use the proceeds to make new mortgage loans available to consumers. Loan prequalification / pre-approval. Under ideal circumstances, the buyer has been pre-qualified or pre-approved for a loan prior to beginning the search for a home. This process benefits not only the buyer, but also the seller and agents in several ways. Buyers can be more realistic when setting their pricing goals. The buyer's agent has a better understanding of the buyer's ability to pay. The buyer's agent can avoid showing properties that the buyer cannot afford. Sellers are somewhat reassured that the buyer has sufficient income and credit to close the transaction. All pre-qualification and pre-approval letters are subject to underwriting approval. Pre-qualification. When borrowers are pre-qualified, they provide basic information to the lender, including income, debt, and credit history. A pre-qualification letter does not obligate the lender to extend credit, nor does it obligate the borrower to the lender. The lender may or may not have obtained a credit report and other information that will be considered in underwriting. As mentioned earlier, pre-qualification is a benefit, but its value should not be oversold, especially to the seller. When a pre-qualification letter is issued, the lender may know little about the borrower's history and even less about other factors, including employment and income conditions, that affect the borrower's creditworthiness or ability to pay, may be discovered during the underwriting process that were unknown or not disclosed in the pre-qualification process. A buyer with a conditional qualification letter will not have received a loan estimate from the lender. Pre-approval. The pre-approval of a buyer is a considerably more involved process and requires an application from the borrower. The pre-approval letter is only issued after the lender has evaluated the borrower in the underwriting process. Even with a pre-approval letter in hand, many qualifying conditions must be met for a successful closing. Buyers and sellers must be cautioned that neither letter guarantees ultimate approval for a loan. Note also that neither pre-qualification nor pre-approval letters require the identification of a property as they address the borrower's creditworthiness. The property, when identified, must also meet the lender's underwriting requirements, including, but not limited to, appraisal, insurability, lender-required repairs. What is an application? A credit application from the borrower is required prior to issuing the conditional approval letter. The borrower's credit is submitted to underwriting for approval. However, the credit application is only one component of a complete application, and only after receiving a complete application will the lender provide the borrower with a loan estimate. For an application to be considered complete, the lender must have all of the following. Remember the requirements with the acronym PENSIL: property address, estimated value, name of the borrower, social security number, income, loan amount. When the six requirements have been met, the application is complete and the borrower will receive a LE,